Hello and welcome to another episode of the Laura Sanzo podcast with your host, Laura Sanzo. Everyone's perception of the world is different based on their model of the world, and her goal is to celebrate that by building the most inclusive self-development podcast. Laura and her guests share their stories and share invaluable strategies from the world of science, spirituality, business, health, personal relationships, and everything in between. We cover it all. Get inspired, learn to welcome adversity, understand the failures only feedback, and get ready to hear discussion on some of the most important issues facing us today. Enjoy the episode. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Laura Sanzo podcast. Today, we are looking at the world through the eyes of Monique Turner. Monique is a keynote speaker, author, and youth advocate who works with organizations, individuals, and families to transform their lives with her mantra, never personal, always purpose. I love that. Monique is on a mission to help others overcome challenging moments so they could find fulfillment and above all, success. Welcome, Monique. How are you today?
Good. Thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate you having me on the show.
We had such an incredible first conversation. So I'm so excited to actually sit down and talk in a more formal manner. But I just want to just a couple of things that you faced even before the age of 25. I feel for most people, they haven't even started to live before 25. And before that age, you experienced the death of both your parents, your grandmother and your great-grandmother before the age of 23, actually. And then by 25, you found yourself facing a 5-year federal prison sentence, forcing you to leave your 7-year-old son. So I wanted to ask if you could just take us back to that time and let us know how you went from federal prison to now having helped over 15,000 at-risk youth and formerly incarcerated individuals reclaim their lives and discover their true purpose. So how do you go from that to where you are today?
And you know what? It's all God. So, and I'm saying that, and you know what is funny is because at the time I didn't grow up in churches. I grew up actually hearing God, but not believing in God. And especially once he took my parents and everything that I had, there was like, God who? There is no God. And while I was actually in prison, one of my friends came in. I was grieving really, really bad behind my dad and both of my parents actually, but it was my dad's birthday. And so I was just in the cell, in the room, they were in cells really, crying and crying and crying. And she came in there and she was like, Monique, you need to stop grieving like this. She was like, it's really hurting you. You're grieving wrong. And I'm like, grieving wrong. There's no way to grieve wrong, right? And so we began having Bible study. And from there, that's how I really got introduced to God. And I believe that was the best thing that could have happened to me. I believe that, you know, I believe in the power of three. And so I believe I lost my mom. I mean, my dad first. And then I lost my mom. And then I went to prison. So I believe that the old Monique died and the new Monique was born. And I always like to tell people that. So what happened in prison is I started same-sex relationships. So I went from being with a man before I went to prison to coming to being in prison, being with women and never being with a man again. So I've been married to my wife now for 12 years. And I didn't meet her in prison. I met her when I came home. But let me put a little time capsule really quick. So that way everybody can really have an understanding of this transformation that happened, and it's going to be really fast. So between the ages of, let's say, 0 to 5 years old, something happened. I believe that I was abused by my uncles while I was sitting on their lap going from my house to my great grandmother's house. No little girl should be sitting on no man's lap. Okay. It is what I believe. The man has a penis right there. And so you sit in the girl on the laps. Why? Because no little girl should feel a man's penis, especially being a young lady, a little girl. And so I believe from there, that's where I started to like friction because the friction was happening. So 5 years old, I was abused. By 9 years old, I started a hamburger house. So it was like, whoa, because I grew up in San Francisco housing projects, Valencia Gardens to be exact. So being an entrepreneur was already in me, right? That was a skill that I already had. 9 years old, I had that skill. 10 years old, I started selling drugs. 15 years old, I caught my first drug case. 18 years old, I got pregnant with my son. 19 years old, I had my son. 23, I lost my dad. 24, I lost my mom. And then 25, I went to prison. So there you have that time capsule of just trauma, trauma, pain, pain, trauma, pain. So when I came home from federal prison, I still, of course, in my mind, I wanted to do right. And in my mind, I never wanted to go back to prison. But the reality, if there's not any programs and there's not any true support system, and I did have a support system, but not a support system that can financially take care of me, Right. So then I had to do what I did best, which was get in the streets and hustle, because working for $13 an hour just wasn't cutting it to take care of a teenager at that time. I was 7 years old when I came home. And so that was really, really tough for me. And so from there, what I had, I ended up back in the halfway house. And so when I ended up back in the halfway house, I did a 6-month violation. And that's when God gave me a vision. And this is why I like to say God, because if having that faith and belief in him that started while I was in prison, then I wouldn't have even knew that that was from God. And so God said, Monique, start a nonprofit. That's your purpose. Like, oh yeah, I can see it, because when I was a kid, I would always like play school, want to be the coach, want to be the captain, and all these fun little things, activities. I love activities. And so it took 3 years. That was in 2010. In 2013, so between 2010 and 2013, I was doing things to align myself with starting a nonprofit and volunteering and doing things like that. But again, life is happening and I need to make some money. And so I ended up working, you know, working a server at the Olive Garden. And oh Lord, that was that was a job. But you know what? That was God. Yeah, he wanted me to serve people. So that's what I was doing. Working for them $2 tips. Boy, I tell you.
Isn't it crazy? Isn't it crazy to think that like that was what year, 2012 or 2013?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was like in 2012, 2011 that I was a waitress.
Has the minimum wage even changed that much?
You know what? No, not really. I believe that think? Like $2, I think it has changed. If that, you know, I remember when Barack was in, I think he had it changed a little bit. But yeah, you know, it's funny because the cost of living is always going up, right? So why doesn't the minimum wage jump up the way that the cost of living does? It just doesn't. So we have to make opportunities for ourselves, yes. Right? We can't depend on jobs and, you know, this minimum wage to be able. And I only have a high school diploma. So, you know, I didn't have the college degrees and everything like that. And so I also thought, and then with my criminal background, I just was thinking like it wasn't going to be possible. But finally, there is a God and God is good, especially when you are pursuing your purpose. So in 2013, I got my first opportunity to be able to work in a school. My son's principal was calling me and he was like, oh, your son is failing. He's messing up in school. You know, I want to know, can he participate in this program? And I was like, can he? It should be mandatory. If he's failing, there should be programs that are mandatory for these students to participate in to be able to get the support that they need. Now, mind you, if I've experienced all the pain and trauma that I experienced, imagine all the pain and trauma that my son experienced losing his mom to go to prison at 7 years old and losing his grandparents at a young age. So he experienced so much trauma as well. So finally, I had an opportunity. I was in the school 2013, volunteered. I had to volunteer first. Then they gave me a contract. Well, here it comes again. Now they say, well, Monique, guess what? You need to get your record expunged and you need to get that probation terminated, or otherwise we're going to have to terminate your contract. I'm like, no, like, God, what are we going to do? I know you didn't just give me this to take it away. Right. And so I'm calling every agency that says that's what they do is help with expungement. And I'm calling different lawyers and everybody is like, Monique, it's going to take 3 to 6 months. I didn't have that type of time. I literally had 1 month to get it done because this was December. By January, it had to be done before the new school semester started. Well, cousin, we went into the law library. I asked the lawyer that was there at the time, you know, how do I write up this motion? They showed me, they gave me the template. Me and my cousin wrote up the motion. I submitted it to the courts, went in front of the judge. I had a letter of recommendation from the principal that the school that I was serving. And just like that, the judge terminated my probation. I was super excited. And then I went in, I wrote another motion to expunge my record. And just like that, I had my record expunged. So now up until this date, we have served over 25,000 students. So I have to have my BA change that. Yeah. And we are in 5 different districts and served over 10 different schools. So I'm super, super excited about what we do and the impact that we have made and continue to make on our youth, helping them address the social emotional barriers they face through the lens of emotional intelligence.
There's something that you said in the last call that we had that I want to ask you a little bit more about. And it was, you used the term imprisoned to freedom mindset. And I love that because so many of us, our mindsets are imprisoned, even if we've never seen the inside of a prison. It's just really a beautiful analogy. So can you just like really just lean into that a little bit more for us?
Yeah, definitely. So I believe, you know, for me, an imprisoned mindset, I believe that even though I did time in prison before I even went to prison. I was imprisoned in my mind because I was stuck in the environment that I was raised in. I was stuck in believing that I had to follow these values and these beliefs that I was raised with, right? And just everything that I was seeing around me and everything that was happening around me, that this was my normal and there was no way out. And so that's what I mean when I say imprisoned mindset, to where you're not able to think outside the box. You're not able to see past the thoughts in your mind. You're not able to really receive something from somebody else because you only perceive it that one way. And it's just that one way, right? Like they say, one, my way or the highway, right? Yeah. And so you're stuck in that one way mindset. And then, so that's the imprison. But when you get that freedom mindset, that's when you are just like, I am free. I am this social butterfly that can do anything. I understand that no, oh, that's a new opportunity. Go ahead and keep telling me no as much as you want, because I am free. And I believe that everything that I know I can have, I will have, no matter what obstacles, what adversity, what challenges, and who tells me no along the process.
Especially with all the resources we have at our fingertips now, it's like almost like, you know, you want to write a book, you want to start a blog, you want to start a podcast, you want to like whatever, like there's so much resources at our fingertips. As long as you have your attitude and you're open to change, like really everything is just out there for us. You said that you show people how to leave prison with a six-figure mindset. So what would you say to someone that's going to listen to this and they have some preconceived notion of what it is for someone to be in prison and maybe even redemption itself, and in terms of, you know, how experiencing that could really be a catalyst for so much greatness in someone's life. That's your perfect example.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, for me, of course, like I said, you know, when we're in prison, when people are in prison, and like I was in prison, and I have a lot of family members that go back and forth to prison, right? When you're in prison, it's like, oh, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And you just have all these things and you're saying what you're going to do and then what you're not going to do. I'm not coming back to jail. I'm not going to break the law. Well, guess what? I'm here to tell you that I came back out and I was breaking the law. And so I was doing everything that I said I wasn't going to do, because it's easy to talk about it, but it's a little more challenging to be about it, right? And to actually put that action and to make that change that's necessary. And so you can leave prison with a six-figure mindset if you begin to focus on the things you're passionate about, the things that you know that you will do. If you have six figures right now, that you are willing to do because money is not an issue. Those are the things that you want to continue and you want to begin feeding while you are in prison. And when I say, reason why I say continue is because those are what you were doing when you were a little kid. Those are the things that you have done as you grew up as a young adult and into adulthood. But somewhere along the way, because life is happening, then those things get lost, right? We lose sight of the things that we are most passionate about. We no longer feed the things that we are most passionate about because we need to work. We need to make money. We need to take care of these kids. We need to go to college, right? There's so many things that we hear we need to do instead of doing the things that we want to do, that we know we should be doing. And so that's what I believe. If you do those things and you begin to research that and you begin to really reprogram your mind into focusing on that, then I believe that you can leave prison with that six-figure mindset, because now instead of coming home working minimum wage, you're going to come home working and doing exactly what it is that you set out in your mind to do, right? Exactly what it is that you're most passionate about, because those are the things that are aligned with your purpose. And when it comes to walking in our purpose, there is no price tag on that, right? It is unlimited to the amount of money that you can make because you're doing what you're supposed to do.
And, you know, I believe that, you know, as long as you're serving people, the money will come.
Oh, yeah.
As long
as
you're coming from a place of servantship.
Yeah. I like to say, you know what, ever since I've been chasing money, I just told you guys, I started selling drugs at 10 years old. I started a hamburger house at 9. So I have money since I was 10. Let me tell you, that money is come and gone. But now, once I started walking in my purpose, I don't chase money no more. I chase the purpose and the money chases me.
I love that. You said something, I want to quote you. You're worthy. You have a purpose. Do not allow yourself to think any differently. The world cannot afford it. Do you ever like have reflection in terms of the other direction that your life could have went into if you hadn't gone into this incredible servantship leadership role?
Oh yeah, I would be in jail. I would definitely still jail, or I might be dead. You know, there's no future in illegal hustling. There's no future in hustling in the streets. The only future is dead or jail or heartbreak or pain and trauma. It's just no peace. You have no peace in when you are in the criminal and just doing everything criminal. Let me just say that.
Your mantra, never personal, always purpose. Where does that come from?
Okay, so I love that because it's more than a brand. It is a mindset. It actually came from me as I was growing our nonprofit organization, you know, with a background like mine, with criminal justice background, and then not being, having a college degree. So many people doubting me. Many people had all that chatter going on around me. And so me coming from where I come from, it's like, you know, I instantly want to rah, attack them right back, right? But I had to tell myself, you know what, Monique, it's never personal. It's always purpose. I can't take it personal what they're doing or what they're saying. I got to let it go because it's always a purpose. And that purpose right now is for me to do what God called me to do. So if I get caught up taking it personal, then I can get stuck. I can lose everything that I'm working for because all over a reaction that didn't need to take place. So nope, not going to take it personal, but yep, I'm going to always focus on this purpose so that I keep moving forward and don't get stuck in somebody else's energy or somebody else's emotions or somebody else's problem, right? Because other people like to make us their problem.
I love that. And that's such an incredible, powerful reminder for anybody, regardless of what they're doing in life, what the profession is, even if it's just showing up on social media. It's, you know what I mean? Just the people that are meant to hear you and you're meant to serve will hear you and you'll serve them. And everybody else is just kind of there to test you and see how bad you want something.
Yes. Yes. I totally agree with you.
Tell us a little bit about your books.
Okay. So I have a couple of books. I have children's books. So I have children's books that I write, and I really love to use my children's books in our growth. And it's so fun. Said that because I'm currently in the process of writing a new book, which is our I Am Her book, that is going to be amazing, that I'm going to use in our I Am Her Girls Empowerment Day that we bring to schools all around the world. So I'll talk about that a little later though at the end. The Power of Purpose book is one of my favorites. It's my life story on how I was able to overcome all of the different adversity and challenges and pain and trauma, and now how I was able to begin walking in my purpose. It's called The Power of Purpose because there's so much more when we begin to pursue our purpose. And there's going to be so many obstacles and challenges and everything that comes up along the way. But as long as you stay focused and, you know, you keep your eye on that prize, then you will achieve it. And then my next book that I just released last month is Purpose, Everything, as you can see. So sometimes I get a little lost. But Purpose Over. And that book, I love this book because not only is it my perspective on how I was able to overcome and just choose purpose over prison, but I also interviewed 5 other people. And so I had a bunch of different questions. Throughout all the chapters, there's questions from them and questions that I asked them. And so it's really, really amazing because they're giving you their story on how they were also able to choose purpose over prison because it's so important. What I want to do, I want to reduce recidivism on a large scale. And so I'm hoping that this book is one of the ways that we'll do that because it'll allow a light bulb to go off in people's minds to say, hey, I can do this because I see other people that are just like me that has done it.
I know you had talked about this. I just want to quickly just touch on this. What exactly is your definition of purpose? If somebody had to say, Monique, what is purpose to you? Just very kind of a nutshell.
Yeah. So purpose is to me is doing exactly what God created you to do, doing the things that you are most passionate about, enjoying every part of your life because you are no longer feeling stuck. You are no longer settling. Like when you're walking in your purpose, you continue to do things that's new. You continue to move forward. And you know what? It's peaceful. Walking in your purpose and living out your purpose is peace. So if you want peace in your life instead of all that chaos, then yes, begin to pursue your passions so you can pursue your purpose. But you know what? I don't want to just tell you to do that. I'm going to give you an exercise. Anybody that is watching right now, I'm going to give you this exercise. I want you to take a piece of paper. I want you to fold it in three, just like this. You take that paper, you fold it in three, and then you're going to have three sides. See? One, two, three. On one part, you're going to write everything that you are most passionate, everything that you enjoy doing. You write it down. And if you need to do three pieces of paper, then do that too, right? This might not be big enough, okay? Then you do three separate papers and you put them on the wall, okay? And then everything you're most passionate about on one side, on one paper, everything that you enjoy doing on in the middle, and everything that people say that you are good at on the other one. Now, if you need three papers, then, and then you're going to connect the dots. And wherever those dots don't connect to all three, put that on the back burner. Okay, I want you only to where it's the three dots, you put that on a circle, and now you begin analyzing that and you begin engineering your life. So how I just gave you guys that time capsule, go back. So 10 years old, 15 years old, 20 years old. So you can really see, wow, I've been doing this, right? The things that you are most passionate about and that you enjoy doing, you're going to see that you've been doing it since you were a kid. And those are the things that you want to pursue, because those are the things that you're passionate about. Those are the things that are aligned with your purpose.
And I just want to mention, this is just coming to surface for me. So I want to just make sure that I put it out there that it's so important to listen, like you, how you had that calling from God, and you know, whether somebody's going to listen to this and they're a little bit more spiritual and they get like a spiritual download, whatever it is, that intuition, like when you get that calling, it's so important to lean into it. Exactly what you said. It's circling back to when you said, you know, if you're being called to it, it's for a reason. Mm-hmm. I think so many people, you know, get these things. They're like, oh no, it's not meant for me. I'm too busy, or somebody else is doing that. Or so I just wanted really just to add on to that, that just listen. Cause if you didn't listen, we wouldn't have this incredible light that you have, that you give. So.
Right. And you know what is, and the thing is too, listening is very important, but on top of listening, we have to take action. Yeah. See, because I could have listened and I did, and I heard him. Right. But again, life is happening. We have challenges. We have things that we have to do. And so it took 3 years. And this is why you have to stay focused and grounded on it, because throughout those 3 years, I was doing it. I gave up. I was doing it. I gave up. I was doing it and I gave up. And then finally, I had to say, you know what? I'm going all in. This is it. And then when God gave me that opportunity to buy my son's school, then I just knew. And before that, I was volunteering at a youth guidance center. And so, and that was amazing. But you know what? It was like, I can't. I have to stop everything that I'm doing illegal. I have to stop all jobs. Thank God I had the wife that I had that was financially able to take care of our household while I pursue this purpose of mine. And you know what? It's just been a blessing ever since, because she's also been able to quit her job. And now she's full time with our nonprofit as well. So
I love that. And I want to make sure we're going to put in the show notes, but I want to make sure we talk about your nonprofit and the name. Just one question before we get into that. I know you're an amazing speaker and you work with adults, but I know your focus and your love is youth. When did you say to yourself, it's you that I really want to target and I really want to work with?
Well, it was God. That was the nonprofit that he wanted me to start, was a youth nonprofit. And so we serve students K through 12. We started off with just high school. But like I said, now we're in multiple districts and multiple schools. So we serve K through 12, and we are a school-based program. But we have this new program that I'll talk about, that I talked about a little bit earlier.
Yeah.
Which is our I Am Her Girls Empowerment Day. Now, the reason why this is so not just important, but it's needed, is because we help our students address those social emotional barriers. We help our students with their self-confidence, you know, to build that self-confidence, to build their self-esteem, to build healthy relationships, to boost mindfulness. And it's really amazing, because you know what? It breaks my heart. Oh, so heartbreaking. All of the girls' empowerments that we do, where I don't care if I'm in a group of 10 girls, group of 40 girls, or a group of 100 girls. Every time we do this, 2%, maybe 1%, when we do a lot of different activities, this is a really hands-on, engaging girls' empowerment. And when we do our graffiti wall, where they do the release all the negative things that people have called them and everything, then we do our I Am Her wall. Do you know I get 1%, maybe 2% of the girls that feel like they're beautiful? And it breaks my heart, because I have all these young ladies and they're all so beautiful. They're all so talented and smart. But yet they don't feel, and it's because of the things that they've been called and the things that they've been told. from people that, you know what, parents, guardians, siblings, teachers. And so for us, we like to help them take back that power, take back that ownership, and know that they can do and be anything that they want to be. And so our Girls Empowerment Day is just, you know what? And I'm very confident in this. It is unmatched to any other program. And I'll send you a link that you can add. So that way, sure, people want to see it. They can see it live and direct, and they can hear what our students are saying about our I Am Her Girls Empowerment. Because if there is any schools, teacher, admin, parents watching this right now, please watch that video, because I guarantee you, you'll want to bring one of our I Am Her Girls Empowerment Days to your school.
I love the name I Am Her, because I am really are two of the most powerful words that we can use in terms of self-talk. And so for them to learn that at such a young age is going to have such an amazing monopoly effect, I'm sure, into their 20s and 30s and beyond. So, okay, before we get into this, is there anything that you're being called to share?
Anything what?
That you're just being called to share with our community, with our audience, that you may not have touched on that you really want to get that message out?
Yeah, you know, so another thing, working with the youth, that is my true passion. I am so passionate about it. I love it, especially the I Am Her Girls group. But another thing that I am really passionate about is, like I told you guys, reducing recidivism. So I'm also going to send Laura the link for that. Anybody that is currently on probation, if you want to terminate probation early, look it. I did it a year and a half early, not just for myself. I have done it for multiple people as well. Click the link, fill out the questionnaire, so that way you can see if you are a good fit to terminate your probation early. If you are not a good fit, then we're going to jump on the call, because there's also a link for a call. Then I will let you know some of the different strategies that you can do to be qualified to terminate your probation early. We do not have to stay on probation the full term. If you have a 3-year probation sentence, as long as you've done everything required of you, you can terminate your probation in 2 years. You can possibly terminate it in a year and a half. Okay. It just is, all that are you doing now that is allowing you to be a good citizen, right, as they would like to say? And what are you doing that is now has changed your mindset into not breaking the law? So I like to tell people, you know, don't wait on the judge, don't wait on your probation officer, get it done now, because it can just be that little incident that happens 1 month before probation is supposed to be ended, and now you're back in jail and for nothing.
And I'm sure in terms of probation and officers and such, like, everyone is just a number, right? So if they can work with, yep, somebody that actually addresses them as a person and hears just their story and such. So I want you to let everybody know, in case we haven't covered something, in terms of where they can find you, how you work with people. Also, if you can include the Prison to Purpose. I love this name. I actually think I'm going to name the episode with this, Prison to Purpose. I think it's so cool. Podcast, you can talk about that as well.
Okay. So yeah, so Purpose Over Prison. But the Purpose Over Prison, so the podcast, I have not. So if you want to talk Purpose Over Prison, you can catch me on Instagram. On Instagram, I do a lot of live videos around probation and different things that you can do, terminating your probation and things. So you can definitely catch me on Instagram, Purpose Over Prison. I also have Turner TV. That is also another Instagram. And that one, I do a lot of talk about probation, but I talk more a lot about schools and the different things that we do with our I Am Her Girls Empowerment Day. If you're on LinkedIn, so Monique Turner on LinkedIn. If you like to check out all of my YouTube videos, I have so many YouTube videos that are self-development type YouTube videos. So, and you know, some little fun skits and stories and that, but a lot of videos that will really help you get to a place where you can begin to do that mindset shift. And so that's Monique Turner. Hashtag NPAP, which is never personal, always purpose. And then if you would like to send me an email, if you have a school that you would like me to consider coming to, then you can send me an email at thevillage@familypurpose.org.
I love that. It was so great having you finally on the podcast. The work that you're doing, it's so unique. As much as it is extraordinary, it's so unique. So on behalf of everyone that's going to be impacted by you, I thank you for that. And thank you for listening to the message from God to follow this path and take the action to do it.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you, Laura. I appreciate you so much. Thank you so much for trusting me to be on your show and having me on your show.
It was my pleasure. Again,
thank you to your audience.
Yes, for sure. Anytime you want to come back, you're more than welcome to come back.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that.
We hope you've enjoyed that episode of the Laura Sanso podcast. Thank you to our guests. To stay connected to host Laura Sanso, follow her at I Am Laura Sanso or at the Laura Sanso podcast on Instagram. To learn more about Laura, go to www.laurasanso.com.